Negative attitudes depress the immune system. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, with a thought for today. And you might say, how come this is the second thought for today? Well, I've got lots of them. Negative attitudes depress the immune system. This is a psychological, physiological, mental, spiritual truth that we should really be aware of. Now, we have only one ability in life to express, and that is with our physical body. And if we destroy our physical body by depressing our immune system, then we will not have the physical body with which to do the things we want to do. And then, of course, you'll be living on another dimension, and who knows what that other dimension may be. And I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun. So, here we are. Negative attitudes depress the immune system. Negative emotions depress the immune system, making you susceptible to illness. Now, what is illness? Think about it. What is illness? Illness is the lack of ability to have good health in your body, good health in your mind, good health in your relationships, good health in your world, the lack of ability to accomplish anything that you think you'd like to accomplish. Now, do we have the lack of ability to do that? No. But we create the lack of ability, which is an appearance. And it's appearing that we cannot do it because we create it by depressing our immune system. Now, how do we depress our immune system? Negative attitudes depress the immune system, so how do we depress it? We depress our immune systems by basically our thought. We look at the world and we say, oh, it's going to rain, you know, there's a cloudy sky, and we like it or we don't like it. We look at our children and we say, oh, they are wonderful children, they are fantastic children, and they're mean as hell. They're little bastards, they're little terrible critters, you know, they're mean and terrible. But we look at them and we say, oh, they're wonderful, they're our children. Now that's great. That's great. The neighbors look at our children and they say, wow, what little rattlesnakes are they raising over there? You know. And then we look at our children and we say, they're wonderful, they're beautiful. Well, they get over the rattlesnake age and they get over the attitudes of being recalcitrant, wanting to go against society, against themselves and against life, and they come out of it. But meanwhile, the neighbors are not very happy about it. And we are just as happy as can be. We have a neighbor. He had a bunch of kids. And they like to drive their dune buggies and their vehicles back and forth on the road in front of our place. Fortunately, not on our place because we have a gate, but in front of our neighbors. And our neighbors are just pulling their hair out. And they went to them and they said, why do you do this? You know, I mean, it disturbs us. And said, well, my kids have a right to drive as they want. And Ellen went over one day and talking about something else, and she mentioned, she said, don't these kids driving up and down in front of your house bother you too? He says, they're just having fun. They're just being themselves. Why should they bother me? They're my kids. Well, you see, it all depends on what our attitude is about it, what our attitude is about anything. And so one of our neighbors who did not want to have that noise and that dirt in his yard, he put up three great big, containers in front of his house. And he didn't realize what he was doing. But he put up those three great big containers in front of his house. And now he doesn't have to look at anything but his containers and his garden and his world. And it's like a quiet paradise. He took the right action to accomplish what he wanted to do. Now, he was pulling his hair out. He was sick in bed. He was wondering why he was so sick in bed, why he had stomach flu, why he had this and that, why he's dying, you know. And Ellen went over and said, look, you speak your word and you say all is in divine order, and it is in divine. He didn't know that it was those kids that were making him so unhappy, because he had kids of his own and he raised them a lot different, but he raised them himself. So he said, all is in divine order. And Ellen says, you're home perfect, you're home perfect. Well, a few days later, he called. He said, Ellen, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm whole and perfect. Everything is in divine order. And he put up those containers, not knowing that that was part of his medicine. And everything was quiet and peaceful. It was amazing. It was wonderful. But you see, negative attitudes depress the immune system. His immune system was being put right down to nothing because he was upset with the neighbor kids. He was upset with life. And, you know, it's sort of a futile upsetness. It's a futility where you've raised your kids and you've been through hell with them. You have been up and down the road with them and you have trained them to be beautiful people. Well, then they leave home and they are beautiful people. And you say, wow, I did it. And then the neighbor kids come along and give you the same up, down, in, out that your own kids had given you, and your tolerance is gone. Your immunity to that is gone. Now you're thinking, well, here we're going to retire in our lovely little villa here and be at peace, and it's not so. Well, negative emotions, negative emotions depress the immune system, making you receptive to illness. And it makes us receptive to everything else. Now, if we can go around saying to other people, you're home perfect, if we can go around saying to other people, all is in divine order, if we can go around saying to other people when they tell us that they were going to go into business with somebody else and it wasn't what really they wanted, and we said, well, why do it? You know, you ask the question of yourself, why do it? Not, you should not do it because you go in there and you're going to be unhappy. We say, why do it? Mm-hmm. You know, what's your decision? And the person said, oh, you're right. It's my decision. She didn't tell us what it was going to be. But I kind of imagine she'll let that go by. But you see, people can be very hateful and very mean to us. People can leave us in their will a lot of money. And then, oh boy, all that money. And we're not used to spending it. We're not used to using it harmoniously. And so we spend it quickly and it's gone. And then all of a sudden we're where we were before or worse. Because now we had lived on a higher level of the hog. Well, our friends might leave us their business. And who wants their business? Our friends might leave us their children. You are the godfather, the godmother of my children. You take care of them if anything happens to me. Oh, yes, 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 yes. You know, you will handle their spiritual life and take care of them. And then, zam, they're gone. Now, who's going to take care of them? Do you feel a guilt inside of yourself if you don't because you promised yes? Don't go around taking on other people's burdens. Don't go around taking on other people's attitudes that you're their godfather and you're their godmother and that sort of stuff. It's very charming, but hey, it's not too cool. It's not too cool because that's none of your business. Your business is to see that child fabulous, see that child fulfilled in every beautiful way, see that child being itself and having fun, not to go there and say, now you go to church, you go to Sunday school, now you mind your school and mind your teachers, now you do this, but that's not our business. That's not even our business with our own children. Our own children, if we have the patience, which seldom we have, we would say to our children, now, okay, it's time for Sunday school. Are you going to Sunday school today? I don't feel like it. Well, what would you like to do today? Nothing. Well, that's perfectly okay. I'm always looking forward to when I was going to Sunday school because I always had a lot of fun there and met a lot of neat people there. And they were people who liked to do the things I like to do, like play basketball or, you know, football, or they like to go camping and being a Boy Scouts and stuff. That was the church I was in, you know, and that was neat. That was real neat. And so I tell that to my kid, and he says, hey, maybe church isn't all that bad. Looking at it from a different point of view. But you got to go to church. You got to go to school. You got to do this because that's what the law says and that's what I say, and you got to do it. Well, you're taking on somebody else's burden. You offer them the opportunity, and if they don't want the opportunity, that's it. Now, say they don't want to go to church and they don't want to go to school. Say, that's fine. You don't want to go to church. You don't want to go to school. The police will come to my house and say, why isn't your child in school? School is mandatory for all children until they're, 18 or whatever they're mandatory for. And so then the police say, well, ma'am, if you don't get your kid to school, we're taking you to the Huskow. You're going to jail. Oh, I tried, but he won't go. It's your responsibility. Every parent has the responsibility to get their kid into school. That's what the law says. And so, what you do is you talk to the kid. And you say, now look, I'm very serious. I'll have to go to jail if you don't go to school. And then there'll be nobody here bringing in the money, nobody here cooking your meals, nobody here taking care of your needs, nobody here loving you and appreciating you just for what you are. But that's okay now. What's your decision? I'm not going to school. Okay, then I'll go down to the police department and turn myself in and tell them that I cannot get you to go to school, and so put me in jail. And here's the key to the house. Now, don't forget, the monthly payments come, they have to be made on the house, and the car payments come, they have to be made, and the utilities, they have to be made, you know, the gas, the oil, and whatever, and food, and, but that's okay, here, it's all yours, you know, and then you go out, and maybe go to the police department, and say, I can't get my kid to do it. They won't put you in jail, but they'll sure make it sound like they will. They could, the law says they can, in the United States. And, so, your kid tries it for a few days and realizes it's not all that easy. It's not all that easy taking care of everything and doing everything, you know. And if you don't water the grass, it won't grow. If you don't pay the bills, they don't turn the water on for you. They don't turn the gas on for you. You don't have any gas, no electricity. You can't watch TV because you didn't pay the electric bill. Well, what are you going to pay it with? You haven't got any money, you know. You're just a kid. Well, you see, if we had the strength to stand up to our children in just that way, they would be masters. But, we would be masters. We would be masters. We've never had to do this. Not that we never had to do it. We've never taken the privilege of doing this. We've never taken the privilege of doing this because we're always too easygoing. We're a pushover for our kids and the people in our world. We're a pushover for people who come, let's help the poor little children here and the poor little children there. Well, what about your own children, you know? That's good too. But hey, I'm not telling you not to support charities and things like that, but I am telling you, can you stand up to your own child and say, okay, you don't want to cooperate, then this is what happens to me. And if I'm not here, you won't be here very long either. They'll take you to an orphanage or something because they can't just leave you in an empty house. And then when the house is not paid for after a certain period of time, they evict anything that's in there. Dogs, cats, mice, rats, children, husbands, wives, whoever is in there, you know. But that's the way it goes. Now, do we have the ability to put positive thoughts into our immune system? We pretend we do. We go around telling other people, you're whole and perfect, you're wonderful, you're fantastic. But do we tell ourselves? No. When we begin to feel low and torn down by circumstances that are just seemingly overwhelming to us, do we at that moment stand up and say, hey, I can do this. I am no wimp. I can do this. I can stand up to anything. Sure, my husband died. My children got killed in a car accident. Sure, my dog, you know, got run over. And this and that and the other. But I can stand up to it or die, you know. And if you stand up to it, then you say, okay, my name is Job. You know what Job is? Job is a book in the Bible. And in the Bible, Job was tested very seriously to see if he could stand up. And his family was taken away from him. His wife, his property, his holding, and then boils all over his body and everything else like that. And then his friend says, deny God and you'll just be healed of all that stuff. You know, go ahead. And Job says, no way. I stand up for principle. I stand up for principle even if it means everything is gone. Because if I don't stand up for principle, everything is gone. Everything is gone. And so Job stood up for principle. And he didn't get the same wife back. He didn't get the same kids back, but he had a new wife, and he had a new batch of kids, and he had a property greater than he ever had before, but only because he stood up for principle. Now, he called it God, And that's a good thing to call it. But it's principle. When we stand up for principle, we can have anything we want in life. Anything. Now, the biggest, most difficult task of standing up for principle is you don't know what you want. You don't know what you want. You don't. And you don't know what you want. You come here and you say, oh, I'm just going to stay with Herb for a while, and he's going to befriend me, and we're going to do this and that for a while. No, you aren't. I don't want you here. If you're here as a student, I love you. If you're here as a freeloader, you're dead. I don't have any freeloaders in my life. My own son, he worked with me on campus, and he helped me start the organization and did everything. But his real interest was in ultralight airplanes. And so he didn't have any time to do the gist. He didn't have any time to do the addressing and the folding and the mailing or anything around the property, because he made a mistake. At the age of 25, he fell in love. He got married. He had a kid. And so he and his wife and the kid were having a good time, and whatever I asked them to do, they didn't have time for. And so I said, well, I guess you want to leave. You're kicking me out, Dad. And he said, yeah, I guess I am. You know, my own son. It does not, no big deal. And he hated me after that. But it didn't take long for him to wake up to realize that was the biggest and the best thing I could ever do for him, because what he was doing with me was love and goodness. But what he was doing for himself was his desire of his heart to work in airplanes and ultralights and things like that. And that's what he's doing today. Now, do you think it was easy for me to tell my own son, who started the business with me here, to leave, to get the hell out of here? I mean, if you're not going to do your part, get out. And he was a good boy. He's good in everything. He was wonderful. And up to that time, he had been helping very much. But when he got married, his interest changed. And he was still building his ultralights, and he changed. But you see, we have to let go. I stand up for principle all the time, and it looks like I'm beat. It looks like I'm put in prison. It looks like I'm destroyed. It looks like people try to ruin my reputation, try to do everything they can about me. But I believe in me. I believe in me. And people recognize that I believe in me. People recognize that a person who believes in themselves so completely as I do, it must be maybe okay, you know? And I don't care. I don't care if anybody likes me or not. I am just always me. I'm always the likable guy that I am, the friendly, loving, wonderful guy that I am. I am the person that if anyone asked anything of me, they could depend on him. I am the person that if I tell somebody I will do something, I do it. Even if it is a great inconvenience for me. A great inconvenience. And many times it is a great inconvenience. And I will just keep being active in my life, and it drives people crazy sometimes. And the reason it drives them crazy is because they think I'm against them. They think I'm trying to hurt them. And when they wake up to realize that I am not trying to hurt anybody. I am just saying you're in school. You're not being tested, you know? What are you being?
Fortified.
You're being fortified. You're being supported for yourself in your own program. Now, Ellen can look at you and say, man, what being at the University of Healing has done for me and my life and my husband and my children and my grandchildren and everything that I've ever done, I am a new person. I am a person who is a master of myself, because I studied this philosophy which says, be yourself and have fun. And at times it was not easy. At times it was really tough, but I stood in there and I believed in myself. And you too, Ingeborg, you too stood up for that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, now you're forgetting a little bit. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. You are just, it's just as important for you to have your introspection time and to have your meditation time as it is for anybody else. And it's just as important for you to be responsible for whatever you do. And whenever Ellen tells you anything, she's the boss, you instantly do it and no back talk. And you too. If Ellen tells you anything, you instantly do it, no back talk. If there's any back talk, you don't belong here. If you don't think that she's the boss, if you don't think she's the boss, you don't belong here. I know she's the boss. And I do anything she asks me to do. She doesn't ask me to do very much. But I do anything she asks me to do. And I even do more sometimes, and then I get in trouble. You know? So, we're talking about the negative attitudes depressing the immune system. And what happens then? Negative emotions depress the immune system, and they make you susceptible to illnesses, to unhappiness, to a life filled with misery and problems. But what do we have up here? And what are some of the, what's the number one point we have up on our little chart there? It says, untouchable. You are untouchable by anything that goes on in your world because you're the master of yourself and of it. And also, you're not judgmental about it. You don't rehash. I've had so many students here who wanted to tell me their life history. And I said, good. Your dog died. Good. Your wife died. Good. Herb, are you crazy? Well, no. You told me the things that were nice that happened in your life, and I'm just saying good. Well, that wasn't good. Well, then what was good? What happened in your life that was good? Tell me about that. But that doesn't make me feel good to tell you what happened in my life that feels good. It makes me feel good to tell you what happened in my life that wasn't so good. Well, then go to some other organization. There are a lot of negative organizations in this world who just love to have you cry on the shoulder. One of them is called a securitist, a psychiatrist. A psychiatrist loves to have you give you all of your problems, give him all your problems. And the longer the better, because you know you're paying by the hour. And then he'll work with you. I'm not saying that psychiatrists are bad. They fill a purpose. The Catholic Church fills a purpose. The Church of God Unlimited Church fills a purpose. Every church fills a purpose. And what purpose are you going for? I sort of like to take the words of Jesus, it's done unto you according to your belief. The words of Jesus, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all things will be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all things will be added. If you're going to seek the kingdom of the devil, if you want to call it that, or evil, then that'll be added unto you in measure overflowing. And if you seek first the kingdom of heaven, that'll be added unto you in measure overflowing. It's just the principle. It's just the way it works. Now, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? You're going to cry that you need to have this and you need to have that? And, you know, once you clean up your consciousness, once you clean up yours and yours, you know, you will act always like 25. You will always have the smile on your face deep from within your heart because you're a happy, happy lady. And you will have no habits that control you in any way. You are a supermaster. Now, Ellen was telling me that I was telling her, and we were telling you, our neighbor, Steve Kupchip, has a sign on his gate saying he's an, what's he saying?
Auto body
repair shop. Yeah. And so then I was thinking, we were going to tell you that, and we did tell you, to go and meet him. And perhaps he's not doing that business anymore, and he'd like to sell all those tools. Except if he wants to sell all those tools, how can you buy it? You haven't got a penny to piss on, you know. So what are you going to do? Now, are you going to put a cause in motion that right now, if that's your desire, you have all of the accoutrements, all the tools, all the things that you would like to have to do the work you would like to do in auto body repair? Are you going to put the cause in motion right now and then stick with it? And believe it, and you see, this is what we teach. Stick with it and believe it and demonstrate it, and Steve may give you his tools, or he may not. He may say, oh, I know my brother-in-law over there, he's not in business anymore either, and he's looking for, you know, having a somebody that he can mentor, you know, in the business. You say, I'll go there, oh, let him mentor me, and stuff like that. But you see, if you don't have a creative, positive imagination going for whatever it is your dream is, you can't have your dream. And if you don't know what your dream is, you can't have your dream either, because you're just going pillar to post with ideas hither and yon, and that's stupid. So get in your mind what you want to do. Now, is there any past, Ellen? Is there any past, Ingeborg? Is there any past? No past for Douglas?
No past.
Past.
Past?
You don't have any past? Do you have a past?
No.
What do you mean? What's that?
What do I mean? Do you have problems that you have lived with?
The past.
Yes.
No.
I did.
But now,
negativity is out of my way.
Now, do you have a past?
No.
Yeah. Okay, that's the question. That's why it pays to listen very carefully. Now is the only time there is, and there is no past. Because any time your mind goes back to the past, you bring it in the present.
Right.
And so if your mind goes back to the past of your auto body work and your previous equipment and the deals that you had, you're killing yourself to stay in that same limitation. Now, put a new cause in motion that you are one of the finest auto body men in the world today. And you have some of the finest equipment to work with. You build your own story. And start to live it. Start to think it. Start to have it in your consciousness. And you will. Just like Ellen, she says, the University of Healing here is the smoothest working organization in the world. All she has to do is just smile and everything pops right into place. She looks at the pile of mail that she has and then she says, instead of that's a pile of mail, she just goes over it gently and smoothly. You see, the difficulty sometimes we have with our mail is that we read the problems. And if you read the problems, you're a fool. You only read the solutions they have, and then you respond to it. And in their essays or theses, whatever, or dissertations or whatever they're writing, book reviews, you read it as a master reads it, and then you come to the end and you say, excellent, or you could improve this by that, and then send it to them. You don't mark it all up and rewrite it and redo it, and if they have done it by hand, you don't do a thing about it. You just type your remarks on there, and away she goes, and you're done. When I was proctoring all of the lessons that we had, I would take the student's lesson in my hand, before I even look at it, and I'd say, I'm in tune with you. I know exactly what you mean and what you're saying here. And then I'd read their lesson, and I'd respond to it, being in tune, and they'd write me back, oh, you understood so well. You were in tune with me. And I said, yeah, that's true. But it's a simple thing to do. It's a practice. And then it's not writing a lot. It's writing maybe two or three lines because we're not in the business of writing a lot. We do that in the gist and in our books and in everything else. But you see, this is what we want to do. And you have a requirement to read your lesson during a half an hour, not during an hour. If you read your lesson during an hour, then that means that you haven't got yourself up to speed yet, So get yourself up to speed and get yourself moving. And in the program, I don't know what Ellen's program is, but whatever Ellen's program is, and I don't think anybody else knows either, but whatever Ellen's program is, you follow it. If she says a half hour for this, a half hour for that, an hour for this, an hour for that, then that's what you do. And that's what you do too, Ingeborg.
Yes.
And so, remember, now Ingeborg, you can take a nap during your private time in the afternoon, which is a half an hour. You can take a nap. And if you sleep 6 hours during that nap, then you work 6 hours or 5.5 hours into the night. After it's bedtime, you keep on working because you've already had your sleep, Ingeborg, you don't need more than 8 hours of sleep a night. You understand? Now, you can tell yourself you do, and then you will need it, but you don't need it. You are a dynamic, healthy, fantastic woman filled with energy and power, enthusiasm and joy, filled with everything good, and don't give in to your body. If your body wants a nap in the afternoon, take it, but don't take a long one because all you do is just that you're more tired when you wake up. Take a half an hour and click in, click out, and you're fantastic. Now, it's up to you. It's up to you. Now, you're the master. And you're healthy, you're dynamic, you're forceful. Now, if you want to say, but Herb, I'm 80 years old and I need a little more sleep. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. We'll treat you like an 80-year-old person. But as far as we're concerned, you're 25. As far as we're concerned, you are a fabulous, active, dynamic person. And there's nothing wrong with being 80, I assure you. But there's everything wrong with thinking that you're 80 and all that it is supposed to mean. There's nothing wrong with being a convict, ex-convict, but there's everything wrong with thinking you're an ex-convict. That's something past life, or an alcoholic, you know. I'm an alcoholic, I'm a drug addict, I'm these things. You keep regurgitating these things into your life. You keep bringing them back into your life, into your thinking, into your experience, and then you wonder why you have a problem. Why you take one little sip of wine and, I'm high, you know. You know, that's all your choice. All your choice. My goodness. How about that? Thank you for letting me share with you. Put it in practice and enjoy it, because it's you, it's you, it's you. And I love you, I love you, I love you.